Welcome to PR360, where every week the brightest minds in public relations, communications, and media discuss the topics and trends you need to know about. PR360 was produced in partnership with Global Results Communications. Now here's your host, Todd Perry.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the PR360 podcast. My guest today is Lewis K. Gump. He's a business builder, transformational leader, and pragmatic optimist. He has worked with some of the most recognized companies in the world, developing talented teams and achieving remarkable success for growth business. Gump is the president of Cambian Solutions, which focuses on excellence in innovation, business growth, and team performance. Earlier in his career, he presided over award-winning mobile businesses at the Weather Channel and CNN. More recently, he has served as CEO of two digital media firms and led Cox Media, the advertising division of Cox Communications. He's the author of the recent released business book, The Inside Innovator, A Practical Guide to Entrepreneurship, which came out yesterday, March 12, 2024, which we're going to talk a lot about today. So congratulations on the book, Lewis.
Thank you, Todd.
Let's see here. I heard that you're a bit of an aviation geek, and that's one of the things that I've always had an interest in, but I had to keep it at arm's length because I hear that once you get into that, or the first time you get in a cockpit of a plane, you're addicted for life, and half of your income goes to it. So I've been a bit afraid. So how far has the interest in aviation taken you?
Okay, so I have been just fascinated by aviation from the beginning. I will say first that I am not a pilot, and okay. I defer to those who are much more knowledgeable about the topic. However, my friends and family make fun of me because I'll walk into the airport and immediately be practically jaw on the ground when I see a certain plane or I, you know, try to get one of our kids to come over. Hey, that's a 777, but over there's an A330 and that sort of stuff. And, you know, it never gets old for me. The thrill of lifting off just continues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. It's almost like a kid with dinosaurs, you know, talking to his parents. You know, that's a triceratops, you know.
That's a great comparison, and I am just like that kid.
Good. Well, you know, I think it's those types of intense interests that keep us young and keep us happy and keep us wanting to wake up every day and enjoy life. So God bless you for that. Before I heard about your book, I had never heard of the term intrapreneurship. Am I just not paying attention to the business world enough, or where did it come from?
You have lots of company, and I found the same thing. And so it's a practice that needs some definition and really a brighter spotlight, and that's why I wrote the book. In terms of where it came from, the term came from Gifford Pinchot and his wife, Libba Pinchot, who started adding some thought leadership on this topic in the late 70s and into the 1980s. And in 1985, he published the book called Intrapreneuring. And after that, there has been quite a lot of conversations, both in business and academic circles. And yet the topic has never become mainstream. Mm-hmm. And as I did research for this book and thought about the people I know and the accomplishments that many companies have had, it just occurred to me that we really ought to not only highlight this term and what it means, but also give examples of people who are doing it really well.
It's almost like you saw the hole in the marketplace and decided to run for it. You know, no one's talking about this big thing. It's almost like a gift that's sitting right there for you to snatch up and help the world with, right?
I think that's right. In fact, this started around 5 years ago, and I had been reading a number of books. I really enjoy reading. And there were some books about entrepreneurship, and they're very good, and I like them. And there were some books about senior level executive leadership, and I like them and respect the authors. And I kept asking, where's the book on this topic? There ought to be one. And that interest and intention grew. And then in late 2022, I went from someday maybe to I'm committed. And I've been spending a large portion of my time since then writing the book and bringing it to market.
Fantastic. How would you personally define the term intrapreneur?
Okay, so entrepreneur is a person who leads innovation and creates value and growth in a larger organization. So entrepreneurship then is the practice of creating and value and growth through innovation within a larger organization. Sorry, I said it two different ways. And the thing that I want to do here is to distinguish between the entrepreneur and entrepreneurship.
Now, what is the difference between entrepreneur and entrepreneurship?
Okay, so an entrepreneur is a person who leads this innovation and growth. And right. entrepreneurship is the practice. And, you know, the way I tend to distinguish these things is an entrepreneur is to a larger company what an entrepreneur is to a smaller growing company, at least in many cases. It's very difficult to make such a definitive statement that it applies to every single person in every single place.
Correct.
However, the large majority of the time, you can make that comparison. And by the same token, entrepreneurship is distinct from entrepreneurship. And what I found is that a lot of companies that acknowledge this practice tend to refer to it as something like corporate entrepreneurship. And another place where over and over again, I came to the conclusion, wait a minute, that's not totally wrong. They're on the right track. I'm glad they're talking about it. But that term corporate entrepreneurship carries risks too, because it neglects the differences between what you have to do in a large company to succeed, where you don't lead the whole company or own it, right. Versus if you're the owner of a company and you can kind of make the calls.
Got it. So why is entrepreneurship important?
Well, it's important for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that it helps companies adapt to the marketplace. In an environment where there's so much change, companies can really take advantage of the opportunities that are out there, and they can work with their talented team members who are naturally predisposed to help drive this innovation. So that's one of the reasons. Another one is that it helps develop the leadership of the future. I found over and over in my research that the people who were given ownership for individual initiatives or business units earlier on in their career tended to develop more rapidly and more broadly so that they could add even more to a company at a broader level over time. And another thing, and this is one that I kind of sort of knew about, but hadn't thought about much until this writing process, and that is that entrepreneurs help entrepreneurs succeed over and over and over again. There was a time when I was at the Weather Channel, and there was a company called Third Screen Media, and Valerie Christofferson at Global Results PR will recognize this time. And, you know, the Weather Channel was just trying to innovate. We didn't have a lot of funding. We were in the shadows of weather.com, not to mention the Weather Channel TV network. And we were looking for a company that would help us build a new generation of apps. And this is before the iPhone and the Android apps. And so we had a couple of different examples of this. One was we had companies that helped us to build the apps. And then a company called Third Screen Media, when advertising came along, they helped us to activate the advertising. And when they did that, not only did we have a new revenue source, but also they had a breakout moment. And they ended up working with us along with several other companies and turned it into a very successful outcome for them.
It's interesting to me that once you explain the term entrepreneurship, and I kind of got the concept in my brain, it was almost like I got images that fired up of people I have worked with or had professional relationships in the past that were, in fact, that. I didn't have a word for it, but they were the person that internally pushed us to adapt to new technologies, to try new things. They were, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but the kind of the curious engine inside of the business.
You're exactly right. And in fact, that leads me to some of the characteristics of entrepreneurs. And curiosity came out on top. I've never met a successful entrepreneur who lacks serious curiosity. Never met them. And I've worked with hundreds at this point within the companies that I've been directly involved with in the industry and beyond. And in addition to curiosity, the other top five characteristics are action oriented and able to build bridges and risk tolerant and optimistic. And so when you get that package together, you start to see the makings of a potential entrepreneur. And actually in the book, I outline 16 characteristics that came from my research, but those are the top five.
I love that. So we're not talking about the guy who's doing the bare minimum, right?
It would be tough. You know, I don't want to say it could never happen, but you'd have to be very lucky. And I think that it's, you know, it's not a high probability exercise to count on luck alone. On the other hand, for someone who's curious and hardworking and able to work with other people, that dramatically increases the chances that you can really make some magic.
You know, it's interesting. Doing this show, PR360, has been a wonderful gift to me because speaking to different people in different aspects of the business world and in communications, you start to see themes that no matter where people are, begin to pop up and remain consistent throughout the conversations. And one of them is definitely curiosity and the importance of curiosity. It just keeps bubbling up as something that it's just an incredible trait that somebody can have and bring to a group of individuals. Let's switch things up just a little bit here. So how can someone become more fulfilled at work through self-knowledge?
Okay. So this is a very broad and important topic. And there are lots of ways to be more fulfilled through self-knowledge. I'll highlight a couple of them for this conversation.
Yeah.
One of them is data-driven, and one of them is introspection.
Okay.
On the data-driven one, I'm not sure how many people who are listening to this show have taken a Myers-Briggs or a Berkman or some of the other diagnostics out there. But in general, these things, especially the most respected one, are very well vetted. And if we take those and then understand where we're naturally wired to succeed, we can then find activities, roles, and initiatives that align with our natural talents.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I want to shift from something that is more preparation to something that is more practice. It is very easy for people to engage in work that they care about and become burned out. It's very easy to push the boundaries of physical health, mental and emotional health, work effectiveness, and more. Mm-hmm. And when someone comes in with knowledge of how they're naturally wired, possibly they have some additional knowledge about the distinctions between their normal behavior and their stress behavior. And then they put in place boundaries so that they can have some amount of care and feeding outside of the professional initiatives that feed them, that's when they tend to be more fulfilled. I've known a number of people who've been very successful and on the other hand are feeling like they just, you know, they can hardly take another step, go for another day. Time to take a break, time to take a rest. Everybody gets to that place. That's not totally unusual. But some people ignore the signs and wait until they're forced to take a break. And some people acknowledge them. And also, you ever see a sign on the road? I'm thinking of Buc-ee's right now, just because we've seen some Buc-ee's growing up. You know, it says, next Buc-ee's 106 miles away or however far away it is. That's a lot more distance than most highway road signs. But on the other hand, if you see the road sign, whether it's a mile away or 106 miles away, and you take action to give yourself some care and feeding and put yourself in a place where you can be successful, you're much more likely to be fulfilled.
It's very interesting how you framed that point, because immediately when you start off saying, you know, when someone is engaged with something they love, they have the tendency to kind of overdo it, right? And my first thought was, well, it's something I love. But it's almost that love of that will propel you that extra 30% into burnout, right? And I was just thinking about myself, and sometimes I give myself too many projects. I give, just because I love doing podcasts, I love doing all these creative things, that it ends up kind of exhausting me. And but my brain goes, but this is something you love. This shouldn't be exhausting. And there within the conflict lies, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, this entrepreneurship thing is really interesting. And I immediately start feeling guilty myself, like, you haven't been the entrepreneur that you should be, you know? You're part of several professional organizations and an advocate for people joining them. How have they helped you grow as a person and as a professional? And also, could you list the organizations you're part of?
I'd be happy to do that. And one of the things I would say, just going back to your comments from earlier, is that a lot of people have done this even better than they know they have. It's just kind of what they do. Right. And so when you say, hey, have I been the entrepreneur I know I could have been? I wouldn't be surprised if the answer is yes, and then some. Yeah. And there are all sorts of things to be proud of. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people listening as well. Okay. And next, going to your question about organizations, there is a significant number of them. And I make a distinction between professional organizations that are industry focused, and on the other hand, charitable nonprofits. Right. In the case of industry associations, one of the most formative for me was the Mobile Marketing Association. Once again, I think of the mobile industry and many people who may be listening to this who have been involved in building an industry. It was a real privilege to do that, especially I'm thinking about in the 2000s when we were figuring out mobile data. We were creating a code of conduct. We were creating mobile advertising guidelines. We were bringing companies together from different sectors of the marketplace, including the wireless carriers, media companies, service providers, marketing companies, brands, et cetera. And so that's a great example. On the other hand, the Interactive Advertising Bureau was one. The Online Publisher Association is one. Now I'm involved in the Technology Association of Georgia, and I'm based in Atlanta. And then in addition to that, I find a lot of fulfillment and ability to bring people together with a number of other talented board members at places like Junior Achievement of Georgia and the Fernbank Museum of Natural History. And so I think one of the things that we can do as we look for balance and the ability to get involved is to find ways to take our expertise or our talents or our knowledge, find other like-minded people, and then get together and contribute. The goal should always be contribution from my perspective. It's not putting something on a resume. It's not, you know, something otherwise that brings primarily benefit to oneself. But on the other hand, when one gets involved in the community, when one gets involved in the industry, there are all sorts of positive things that come out of it. Coming back around to your question also, it's a great chance for professional development. Yeah. I found that when I was in a company as an entrepreneur and we had a certain amount of expertise and a certain number of initiatives inside our company, when I got together with other people in the industry, my knowledge was always broadened. After some period of time. And then I could go back and be a better contributor in my company. And the same thing, I was able to be a more active and effective contributor in the industry.
When you look back to those early days you were just talking about around like 2002, when there's these huge tech innovations happening that you got to be a part of, do you look back at that now and go, oh my Lord, how did we do all that advancement? How did we do all that not knowing, you know, it's almost like you're Christopher Columbus, right? Like you're just going, setting sail into a new world and finding what hits you. Were those heady days? Can you believe you went through that?
They were heady days and they were hard days too. We couldn't see where the path was going always in terms of the specifics. However, we had conviction and data that said we were moving in the right direction. Right. And so it is like being an explorer. It is like, you know, blazing new trails and finding a way to accomplish things that will hopefully benefit a lot of people. For example, at the Weather Channel, we knew that if we did a better job with text messaging, for example, and we could get severe weather alerts to people when they needed them, then when a tornado is coming through Oklahoma, and you know, pick your other example, but that is one that I've seen personally and specifically, and you can get that text alert to someone 5 minutes faster or a minute faster, and you can get it to them where they are so that they'll see it and they can get into the cellar, that's you know, safety. And that can be life-saving. On the other hand, a lot of it is mundane. It's daily use. However, it improves people's lives. And if you point to any individual action or activity, it might not look like it's a whole lot. On the other hand, over time, it can add up to a significant quality of life improvement. And so, yes, you know, we didn't know where it was going, but we thought we were doing something important, and we knew we needed a lot of people to join together to make it happen.
Wonderful. That's great. So, you know, with this book, you've put yourself out there as an important thought leader. What's your thought leadership philosophy?
Well, that's a great question. As in terms of thought leadership philosophy, I just want to make sure to share the knowledge that others have imparted to me in a concentrated way. I have been lucky to have many mentors, many people who are smarter than I am, who share things that I never would have figured out on my own. And the different nuggets that people shared with me kind of were distributed. On this topic of entrepreneurship, I realized that I had just gathered a lot of those. I had basically a treasure chest of knowledge. And I realized also that whereas we got a lot of things right, we didn't get everything right. And I personally didn't get everything right. And some of the mistakes in hindsight were entirely preventable. And so my philosophy is, if I can take that accumulated experience and knowledge with gratitude to the many people who provided that knowledge and shared their experiences and turn that into a playbook of sorts, then maybe that's a contribution that will help some people. And I thought this is a mission worth taking on. And so it was as if I couldn't not do it. It felt like an omission if I didn't just commit to this and make it happen. This is the playbook I wish I'd had all those years.
Now, talk about the treasure chest of ideas that have been given to you. Sorry, mosquito.
No problem.
Talking about the treasure chest of knowledge that has been given to you, did you find that when you were writing your book, like maybe you're attacking a certain chapter or a certain topic and you're going one way with it, that suddenly it unlocked a chamber in your brain of maybe some knowledge that you hadn't thought about or a story or something else you could share that was unintentional? You're just like, oh, I forgot I knew that. Did you have that experience?
100% over and over again. I found those forgotten rooms, so to speak. And I also found dead ends. You know, I'd start writing on a topic and I was like, oh, this looks pretty good. And then maybe that one didn't go somewhere, but it led to a different path that did go somewhere. One of my favorite examples of what you just described was this observation about the symbiotic relationship that entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs have. I didn't go into the writing project thinking about that. I went into the writing project thinking more about how to help entrepreneurs succeed in their own roles. And then I heard example after example in my interviews of where an entrepreneur had worked with someone outside of the company, an entrepreneur, to help them succeed and to help the larger business at the same time. And so that turned into very fertile ground and one of the primary findings of my research. So it really was a journey and I loved it. And can't say that every single day produced something really amazing, but after you do this for some period of time, for weeks and months, the accumulated benefits add up.
Fantastic. Lewis, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. So first of all, where can people get the book? And second of all, how can they get in touch with you?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking. So up to now, I would have had to say you can get the book and pre-order it. But I'm happy to say that the book launch date was yesterday, March the 12th. So now the book is available wherever books are sold. And if it isn't there actually stocked, then you can order it. It's easy to find places to buy the book at lewisgump.com, LouisGump.com. And, you know, we're really excited to have it rolling out. And if they want to reach me, there's also a contact form on the site.
Great. Thank you so much, Lewis, and best of luck with the book. And we hope to have you back on PR360 sometime in the future.
Thanks very much, Todd. It's been a pleasure to be here, and I'd love that.
Thank you.
PR360 was produced by Todd Perry in partnership with Global Results Communications. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review wherever you get podcasts. Follow GRC on all socials at Global Results. Follow Todd on Twitter at Todd A. Perry. That's Todd with one D. Talk to you next week.